Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Tommy Tiernan podcast, and today I'm going to be talking about stomachs. Now I know that we're all so tremendously sensitive about our bellies. For a lot of us it's where our self-esteem is located, and they're queer things, you know. Stomachs that you encounter with your face and hands are, and the ones that you find attractive are very different to the ones that we find attractive on television and in the cinema. I think people are supposed to be skinny in film. I think thinness looks better than fatness on camera. But this isn't a moral judgment on large people versus the emaciated. It's to do with angles, I think, and darkness and shadow, like cheekbones and a jawline and clavicles and exposed ribs. Unless it's in a documentary about World War II, like on Angelina Jolie, as a friend of mine said about a band garda up in Cavan, she's a jaw like the heel of a gate. She is tremendous looking on camera, because the shape of her face, it creates shadow all over the place, and she looks kind of dynamic. In the flesh now, she might be, I mean, you know, you'd be interested to have a look at her just out of curiosity, but in the flesh, she mightn't be as easy on the eye. Do you know, when you see actual human film stars face to face, I remember one time I shared a lift with Scarlett Johansson. I think it was me. It was either me or Benicio del Toro. But she's a very small lady, you know. And in storytelling, I think the storytelling is often about attractiveness. Like even in stories where you wouldn't see the heroine, like stories about Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty was always like beautiful. She was never, oh, there was this princess and Jesus, she'd awful chunky calves. You know, it's all about beauty. Of course, that beauty dynamic has changed. Like when cinema first started, you know, or from the 60s onwards, I mean, the women were big, like. But I think this was because the world was coming out of a depression, you know. The world was coming out of the grimness of the post-war recession, and nobody had much to eat. There was no virtue in being thin back then. Largeness was seen as a victory against poverty. Like Marilyn Monroe and the curves on her. Like she represented plenty. Generous plentiness. She was as sexy to men as arable land was to a farmer. Just amazing, like the most beautiful woman now that I've ever seen on camera, apart from my own wife on the CCTV camera in the Jervis Street Shopping Centre, would have been Claudia Cardinale. And I saw her in a film, a western called Once Upon a Time in the West. She was, oh my God, this honey-coloured tanned. She was like a human crunchy. But even back then, larger women, Marilyn, Claudia, Diana Doors, Jane Mansfield, it was all still about shadow. Except they created shadows in other places. Their shadows were between their breasts and their hips, or between their breasts, or all just all over their breasts. We have a strange relationship with our own tummies. I find bellies sexy. Like I'm rubbing my own here as I'm talking to you. I love the softness of a belly. To me, a belly is a very sensuous thing. There's something about a decent belly that says generosity and appetite and sensual pleasure. Sit-ups are a form of self-loathing, really. I remember years ago being in New York and hating my own stomach. Now, I think a lot of this is to do with clothes and feeling bloated. As the Dalai Lama said, if we all wore sheets, people wouldn't feel as bad about themselves. But I remember being in a taxi cab going around Soho in New York and looking at these hipster kind of men with woolly hats and Mexican moustaches. Not gay lads now, just kind of gringo bohemians. And they all had little kind of soft pouchy belly on them. Not pot bellies. They just had a belt of goodness above their hips. And I remember saying that I find that sexy. I wasn't attracted to these men, but I thought, geez, that's a, you know. And I've often thought about two people getting into bed together, and just the more you have to play with it, like a belly is really like another breast, another big breast just hanging, nippleless, hanging there above your groin. It's hard to talk about these things though without people, you know, their backs getting up. I was doing a show up in Cavan one time, and different parts of Ireland have, they must serve different size dinners, because there are skinny counties and then there are fat counties. Tipperary is, I have never seen people as big as I have when I'm driving through Tip. Do they have Christmas dinner for breakfast every morning? These are big, lumpy, fine oceans of men and women walking around. Cavan as well. I think it's counties where truck drivers go through. Anyway, I'm on stage in Cavan one night, and I was doing a bit of material at the time about this, about how, you know, people in Connemara would generally be thinner than people in Meath. And I was talking about how acceptable this is to the people who are living there. So I was saying up in Cavan, you know, I said, you're fairly fond of your dinners now up here. What would be considered skinny in Cavan? You know, the room kind of goes quiet as an equal spread of men and women in it, you know. And I said, like, if you were a woman up here in Cavan now, because you're fairly fond of your spuds and your butter, your steaks and your burgers, your apple tart for lunch, I was saying to them, would 40, winding them up like a little bit, you know, would 14 stone, would that be considered skinny in Cavan? And of course, the men started giggling. The men are laughing, and the women are starting to fucking eyeball me. Careful now, fucking careful now, Tom Tiernan, what you say here. But so no response out of them except just an increase in tension. So I fucking poke them again. I says, ah, come on, 13's. Is 13 stone? Skinny and calving. No fucking response. Except from the men. The men were fucking laughing and loving it, but the women were fucking getting more annoyed at me. And I says, ah, come on, girls, give us a dig out here. What's thin in calving? Pure silence. And this woman shouts out, the line you're walking. But it is hard to make flesh sexy. You know, Lucian Freud, when he did those nude paintings of larger people, like a social worker from Camden and stuff like that. You'd hardly call the picture, they're startling. It's startling art, but you'd hardly find it attractive. But if you were with it in the flesh, you might find it the most gorgeous, playful thing that you've ever encountered. And the daftness of the Buddha being big, you know, big, large, happy Buddha. So thinness and muscle is a two-dimensional thing. One-dimensional. You know, even where in the flesh, driving around New York, I can see kind of half-pot-bellied men and say, that's what I find attractive. That represents sensuality to me. When I'm looking on the cinema screen and I see, you know, Brad Pitt's hips and the strange definition and tone and muscle, I mean, that's attractive, but that's not real life. And we live in a culture. We are surrounded by food. Most animals, if you put them in a place of just endless food, will fucking eat themselves to death. I think I've heard stories about horses who just fucking they have no sense. They just ate until they fucking drop. A friend of mine, now this is an awful story. Oh God. A friend of mine was leaving home of a Monday and not coming back till the Thursday, and there was just him and the dog that was living in the house. And he explained to the fucking dog, like you could be driving yourself demented trying to explain stuff to dogs, but he said to the dog, he left out 12 bowls of food for the dog. And he said, and he's in plain English, like he was inches away from fucking writing it down for the dog. He said, that's for now, that's for lunchtime, and that's for tonight. Do you understand? Now, lunchtime tonight. And he went through the food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But and the dog was looking at him. And he said, do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, lunchtime, tomorrow, lunchtime, dinner, Wednesday, morning. And he fucking explained it to the dog. Of course, he fucking arrives back Thursday evening. I'm sure there was... There was no dog. I mean, there was no live dog. I mean, the poor creature just... But that's... And we live in houses where there's always food available. You know, we'd be much thinner and healthier if we had to chase our food. Like the boys who fucking live on reindeers and rabbits. You know, if you had to be running after your food the whole time, you wouldn't be eating as much. We fucking traipse into the kitchen and, you know, open the fucking press and ate 6 bags of fucking okie dokies. They're the Aldi version of hunky dories. Or, you know, fucking ice cream and a slice of ham or a scone or a fucking bit of toast. And no wonder we're kind of exhaling with flesh. No wonder we're kind of stretching out, you know. In the course of my work, I get to throw my arms around lots of women coming up for selfies and stuff like that. And I do be noticing the feelings that having my arms around different shaped women would happen, you know. So when I have my arms around, as soon as you get these skinny little Trixie Belle waif-like craters that come up, you know, and they say the most awful things to you, like, oh, my granddad thinks you're so funny, he says he went to school with you. Anyway, so you put your arms around these thin women and they want a photograph of them with you, and maybe their skinniness is a virtue in photos, and it is, of course. But anyway, you have your arms around them, and you'd be thinking, okay, why would somebody find this attractive? Why would somebody find this shape exciting? And it seems to me that a very thin lady can make a very ordinary man feel powerful. You know, you can put your arm around a thin woman and it's kind of like, you know, you sense your strength against her frailty. You're kind of going, I'm the fucking monkey man here. I'm a fucking legend. Look at the fucking strength of me. But when you put your arm for a photograph around a larger lady, oh, then it's not about your victory then. You're going to win fucking nothing here. What she says to you with her size is, give it up to fuck. Surrender. You haven't a hope. And it's pure fucking generosity. It's just there, I'm all woman. From head to toe, I have hips where other women have ankles. I have 19 different breasts on me body, and I want you to find them all. Strip, she says. Strip there in front of me. What's that? You're Mickey. You'd be better off with a little white flag between your legs. It's clothes. It's clothes that are the fucking horror of it. Trousers. Whoever came up with trousers was a bad bastard. How can a pair of trousers make you feel bad about yourself? And if we're honest, in trousers, most of us are either just about getting away with it or under fierce pressure altogether. We should all be draped in sheets, walking round wearing blankets and duvets, into the shop, one size fits all. That's why the Dalai Lama is always laughing. Because he loves cake and he doesn't wear pants. I mean, is there anything as terrifying in this life as a thin priest? Some gaunt looking haunted fucker with a big life hating head in him, straight out of a parochial house in Mullingar with empty presses and one bare fucking light bulb in the room, and just he's that fucking thin, the mice bring him food, the cat drags in a sparrow. Go on, eat it for fuck's sake, I'm sick looking at you. At least a priest, though, has the option of wearing a dress. Maybe that's part of the attraction of wearing women's clothes. You just throw on some loose flowing number and forget about your stomach for a while. One time a friend of mine came back from Morocco and brought me one of the other yokes. The men were over there, like the... He said it was one of them anyway. You know, the long white flowing tunics. And he gave it to me as a present. And I wore it one summer in Galway. I felt like a fucking idiot. People were staring at me. I think the fact that it was see-through didn't help. Mightn't have been one of them tunics at all. It could have been a nightdress and him fucking sneering at me the whole time. How might we learn to love our stomachs once again? I think we can do it through other people. So if you can persuade your partner, you might be embarrassed to say this out loud to them, but maybe write, send them a text or leave them a note somewhere. You know, sometimes when people are riding each other and, oh, say something to me. And what's the most beautiful thing you could say to another person that you're in bed with or up against a wall with? I love your belly. I love your belly. Wouldn't it be great to be with somebody who is on their knees in front of you and they're kissing your stomach. I love your belly. I love the softness of it. I love making farty noises against it. I love plunging my head into your stomach and pulling the sides of it around my ears. I love your belly. That's what I'd like, you know. And if you have someone in your life that you can get to do that for you, more power to you. And if you don't, I mean, you could... I think many teenagers have tried the bending back and their mouth's been able to reach that part of their bodies. I don't think it's possible. Maybe you could traipse on to the whorehouse or down by the docks to find a sex worker. And she asks you, what do you want me to do? And you say, I just want you to kiss me stomach for half an hour and tell me that it's beautiful. And she does so. And then afterwards she says, you don't want to ride me or nothing. And she says, no, that was better than the ride. And she says, you are a very, very strange person. And you reply, I know, but you've put the twinkle back in my eye. Thank you. That's the end of this week's podcast, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it and we'll see you next time. God bless and good luck. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.